As you open your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 19, let me just say how great of a blessing it is to be with you this morning. I know that the worship we give our God is no more special this morning than last week or next week, but it sure is good being with so many other Christians worshiping our God together. And as we've taken time to raise our voices to Him, I now think it's time for us to slow down and listen to God's voice speak to us for a few minutes. So what we are going to do is we are going to go into Exodus chapter 19 and see the events unfold in Exodus chapter 19, a few verses from chapter 20, and then try to gain a couple of lessons from it. I've entitled the lesson for this morning, Do Not Let God Speak to Us. A few years ago, I was reading through Exodus chapter 20 and noticed this phrase in verse 19 of that chapter, Do not let God speak to us. It was a very counterintuitive claim, because generally we want God to speak to us, right? We want His guidance, we want His wisdom, we want His knowledge. But for some reason, the children of Israel claim, do not let God speak to us. So here's the question I want to pose this morning is this. Why did Israel not want God to speak to them? And as we work through Exodus 19 and into chapter 20, keep this question in your mind. Why did Israel not want God to speak to them? And after we answer that question, we're then going to try to answer this. How might we at times make the same mistake? So let's begin in Exodus chapter 19. Together, let's gather ourselves around Mount Sinai. The children of Israel have left Egypt. They've come out of the Red Sea. They've seen God's great wonders performed. And a few weeks have passed. Now they are gathered together at the Mount Sinai. And God, through Moses, is going to speak to them. So beginning in Exodus chapter 19, we'll see this interaction between God and Israel through Moses. So let's begin in verse 1 of chapter 19. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be a kingdom of priests to me, and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So here's what happens. You'll notice in chapter 19, verse 1, the children of Israel are gathered together at Sinai. And then verse 3, Moses goes up to God. So here's the scene. You have the children of Israel down here. God is then going to call Moses up, come up to me on the mountain. Then whenever Moses gets up to the mountain, God tells him, go speak to the children of Israel. So Moses, go back down and tell them, keep my commandments, obey my voice, you'll be my treasured possession. So when Moses goes back down, let's see how the people respond in verse 7. In verse 7, we'll see the people's response. Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Let's stop there for a second. So here again, Moses, he goes down, comes up, and now he's going back down, and he tells the people, again, do what the Lord has said, you'll be to me my treasured possession. How did the people respond? All that the Lord, all that Yahweh has said, we will do. When Moses comes down, there's an affirmation of what God has said. There's obedience to what God has said. They are willing to follow what God has said. But then you'll notice with me in verse 9 what God says. The Lord said to Moses, Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever. So now it's going to be a bit different this time. The first time, God sends Moses down from the mountain. But here's the second time, God's coming down to the mountain. So this time it's not through an intermediary, but God Himself is coming down to the mountain. Now, we'll summarize verse 16 down through verse 20. What occurs in these verses is God is going to meet with the people, but God is going to tell Moses, Moses, go to the people, consecrate them, make them ritually and spiritually pure before me, because I'm coming down. So as we pick up in verse 16, let's notice. On the third day, where thunders and lightning and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. So let's stop. God's coming down. God had told them, if you look with me in verse 12, take care not to go up to the mountain or touch it, even the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. So God is coming down to the mountain, but the people have to remember, if we go to the mountain and we touch the mountain, we're going to be put to death. So then when Moses calls the people, come to the mountain, really, Moses, how do they respond? Verse 18, Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So let's get these two scenes in our minds. Let's feel and experience what the Israelites were experiencing. When Moses comes down, how did Moses speak? Remember how Moses spoke? He was an eloquent man. He was a man who did not want to be the spokesman of God because of his lack of eloquence. So Moses comes down from the mountain. All that the Lord has said, we will do. And now it's going to be different this time. Now God's coming down to the mountain. When God comes down in the mountain is wrapped in fire. Put ourselves there. You feel the heat from the flame. Your nostrils are filled with the smoke of the fire. You hear the trumpet sounding. You hear the thunder roaring. You see the lightning. You see the fire. And the mountain itself is trembling. God has come down. Let's notice in this context, as you continue into chapter 20, God gives the Ten Commandments in this context. The original Decalogue of the Old Testament was given in this context. Now, right before this, in summary, God again had called Moses back up. And he tells Moses, I want you to bring to me Aaron's family and bring them up with me to the mountain. But then as we finish chapter 20, let's see how the people actually responded to God. Verse 18. When all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled and stood far off. And said to Moses, look at verse 19, you speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die. Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. So I want to pose this question then. When, verse 19, here the people tell Moses, do not let God speak to us, why did Israel not want God to speak? You know, why did Israel really not want God to speak? God's voice was the one that had made them. God's voice was the one that had led them out of slavery. The one that had led them through the Red Sea. The one that had already given them victory in war. That was the voice of God. But now something's changed. Now Israel does not want to hear the voice of their God. Why? Well, let's contrast these two voices. whenever we look at the voice of Moses and we contrast it with the voice of God, I think we see two very different experiences that Israel was going through. How did Moses talk? Moses was a human. Moses is like us. He's one of us. God, of course, is divine. Moses is a common voice, albeit probably an eloquent voice. God's voice is an awesome voice. God comes and He speaks in thunder and lightning and smoke. When Moses speaks to us, it's inconsequential. Moses is just like us. Moses killed a man. Moses is just as flawed, just as fallible as us. But the voice of God is grave. Again, you put yourself in the context of that mountain. You see the fire, you hear the trumpet, you hear the thunder, you feel the mountain shake, you smell the smoke. Every sense is overwhelmed by this awesome presence of God. When God speaks, there's nothing to do, nowhere else to go. I must listen or I'll be judged. And finally, I would recommend the voice of Moses was indirect, but the voice of God was direct. Let me explain what I mean by this one. When Moses spoke, it was the same message that God gives. It was just indirect. It was unmediated, if I can use that term. Growing up, when I was in elementary school, the administrators had a wonderful idea to change our milk cartons to the little pouches of milk. Great idea, right? Giving a seven-year-old a little pouch of milk that you could put a straw in and you could squirt everywhere. Well, it became quite an issue. And our assistant principal, who was the head disciplinarian, she initially sent out some flyers. Don't do this. Be good kids. That didn't work. So then she asked the lunchroom monitor, tell them, please tell them not to do this. That didn't work. So then she asked the teachers, tell them not to do this. That didn't work. It was like Moses, right? She was the one in authority. She was the one with power. She was the one that could scare us to death. But whenever she gave her message mediated, indirectly, through flyers or the teacher or the lunchroom monitor, it didn't work. But then at one point, Dr. Martin came and spoke to us. And Dr. Martin told us, if you kids do this again, you're coming to my office and I'm dealing with you personally. You want to guess how many times the milk got spilled in the lunchroom again? When Moses spoke, he's like us. He's one of us. He's similar to us. Albeit the message is the same. The difference between the voice of Moses and the voice of God is not the message. It's the channel through which it's presented. When Moses spoke, he was speaking the oracles of God, but it was indirect through his human tongue. When God spoke, it was directly from his divine voice. So I would recommend this. The reason that they did not want God to speak to them, God's direct voice was awesome and inescapable. Moses himself comments on this episode twice in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, 15 following, there in giving the prophets, Moses recognized the reason God set up the whole system of the prophets was because Israel could not stand the true voice of God. That's why we have the prophetic system in the Old Testament. But in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22 down through verse 29, there's likewise a comment. And in verse 29, God says through Moses, were these people to always have a heart as this, to fear me and to obey all my commandments? God wanted his people to always fear him, to always obey him, to have a heart that was shaped and impacted by the very voice of God. God accomplished what he wanted to do. God wanted to put his grave, severe, holy, awesome, direct voice into the ears of his people. And that awesome, direct voice was inescapable. So here then is my question. What in the world does this have to do with us? We don't stand at Mount Sinai. We've never seen a mountain filled in smoke and a mountain tremble. But I think the principle here is we so often are like Israel, where we want Moses to speak to us, but do not let God speak to us. What I want to do is I want to offer two abstract applications and then give three more specific ones. Number one, I would recommend this. We must listen to the voice of God. I'm going to put various verses up here. Some we'll flip to together. Some I'll just read. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it tells us, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets. But in these latter days, He has spoken to us by His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son. The direct, awesome, unmediated, direct voice of God was given through His Son. We must listen to the voice of His Son. We must long for and listen to and only heed the awesome voice of Jesus Christ. We live in an age that I would describe as a cacophony. A cacophony is where you have all of these noises mixed together. You can't really hear what's going on. You really don't know what to listen to. It's like walking into the lunchroom in the caf. Whenever you walk in and you try to listen to a conversation, your earbuds just explode. And isn't that what's happened in our day? In our diverse era of subjectivism, we do not have just one authoritative voice. But we have every human philosophy, every human-made religion, every human-made idea vying for our ear. The voice of God speaks over all of that. Should we live in an era when all that God had given to us was a voice of man? Why should we listen to the voice of man over any other man? God has not given to us a voice of man to heed. God has given to us the voice of His Son to obey. The only way to find truth, the only way to find authority, the only way to find any level of meaning is listening to the direct, unmediated, pure voice of our God. Young people, listen to the voice of God. Listen to His voice. Do not take His voice and put it through a channel. Listen to Him. Obey Him. Heed Him. He is your God. He is your Maker. Listen to Him. But number two, I would recommend this. We need to listen to His voice. Because God has spoken, we need to listen. Turning with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think we see a similar problem occur at the church at Ephesus. When Paul wrote his letter to Corinth, when we see this letter written, the church of Corinth was a divided church. Some had taken themselves to Paul, some to Apollos, some to Peter. They were a divided church. What did they have done? Do not let God speak to me, let Paul speak to me. Do not let God speak to me, let Peter speak to me. Do not let God speak to me, let Apollos speak to me, verse 1. I, brothers, could not address you as people, as spiritual people. But I had to address you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, because you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready for it. We'll stop there. What was their problem? Don't let God speak to me, let Paul speak to me. Do not let God speak to me, let Apollos speak to me. Apollos and I are buddies. Paul and I are buddies. So I'm going to listen to Paul, but I'm not going to listen to God. Their problem was they had been so blinded by their flesh. They had become so wrapped up in their human politics, in the fleshly aspects of their spiritual service, that they forgot to truly listen to the voice of God. The voice of God takes a spiritual ear. God's voice has spoken at one time through His Son. And that awesome voice of God has been ringing over this earth for 2,000 years. If we take our ears and we close them off to the voice of our God, we put on not our blinders, but we put on our earphones, and we don't let the voice of God listen to us, we can put on any earphone we want. So whenever we take off our earphones and we let the direct, awesome voice of our God speak to us, That's when we are spiritual people. And that's how God wants us to live our lives. So looking at this second application, how can we get this a bit more practical? Recognizing that we must listen to His voice, what are some specific applications for us? Well, three that I would like to offer from my life, where I've had to ask myself the question, do I want to listen to the direct, awesome voice of my God, or do I just want to listen to Moses? Do I just want to listen to man? Do I just want to listen to the comforting, comfortable, familiar voice of man rather than being shaken by the voice of my God? Number one is this. The Scripture is truly from God. Many of us know 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is inspired by God. This book is God-breathed. It is directly from the voice of our God. In the Old Testament, God gave through Moses His Word. Now, God has given His Word through His Scripture. At times, I think we feel, it's been 2,000 years. Do we really know if it's relevant? Do we really know we have the original sources? Do we really know it's the Bible? God spoke through His servant Moses. God has spoken to us through His authoritative Word. We must heed the teachings of this book as truly from the mouth of our God. While it may have been penned with human hands, it was spoken from a divine tongue. The Word that we follow, the Scripture that we follow, the teachings that we have, we must always recognize them and we must always see them from the Word of God. May I urge you, young people, come to know God through the Scripture. Psalm 103 verse 7 tells us, God made known His ways to Moses and His works to the children of Israel. Moses knew the ways of God. Through this book, we can come to know our Maker. We can come to know our Savior. We can come to know our Redeemer because He has given us His words. Come to know who God is. Come to serve Him. Come to fear Him. Come to love Him. The second I would offer is this. Our church and all of our collective practices must be truly from the voice of God. Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us that Christ is our head. We are His body. We are the fullness of Him, verse 23, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. The church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We're the body. Everything that we do, brethren, must be directed from His Word. I'm going to talk to the men especially for a second. Men, how many times have we been in business or congregational meetings and talked about thermostats and carpet color without ever beginning to discuss how to make our worship pleasing before our God? Are we really listening to the voice of God, or are we truly just wanting the voice of Moses? Are we like those at Corinth, who are not spiritual people that can listen to the voice of our God? Are we people of the flesh that get caught up in fleshly matters? Always ask, how does what we do and what we have relate to the voice of our God? Our worship, our practices, our evangelism, everything that we do collectively has been given and must be authorized by the direct voice of our God. And number three is this. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Christian virtues that we follow are not just from Moses. They're not just from man. Their ultimate source is from God. The reason the voice of Moses had authority was because he spoke from God. The reason Scripture has authority is it comes from the voice of God. And here in Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew author, whoever he was, tells us that our virtues that we as Christians live by must be from Him. Let's pick up in verse 14. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble and by it become defiled. the one who is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. Do you notice the virtues in this text? We have peace. We have holiness. We have grace. We have purity. Holiness again. How are our virtues and our moral frames? Is living a Christian life just about being a good person? Or is it about being an individual who heeds and obeys the voice of our God? Holiness matters because it comes from the tongue of our God. Purity matters because it comes from the voice of our Creator. Peace matters because it comes from the voice of the Almighty. Every moral principle, every Christian virtue has its true meaning and true fulfillment because it comes from the voice of God. Let us not deceive ourselves into thinking that we can just live lives that are all right in the eyes of man, that are okay by our collective sense of community, but never stop to heed the voice of our God. Let's listen to God. So then for the invitation, let me ask you this. How do we come to God? Going back to Hebrews, back to Exodus 19, stay in Hebrews 12, but thinking back with me to Exodus 19. It told us in verse 12, do not touch the mountain, lest you die. Do not touch the mountain. So then, when the children of Israel came to the mountain, they were afraid of touching even the edge of the mountain, because even if they touched the edge, it would lead to their death. God told them, do not touch the mountain. And in that case, remember, God did what He wanted to do. Deuteronomy 5:29. God wanted such a heart in His people as this always, that they would fear Him and that they would obey all His commandments. So recognizing then that Exodus 19 tells us the Israelites were not to touch Sinai, I want us to note Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. You have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoke to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Does that text sound familiar? The Hebrew author is describing what occurred in Exodus 19 and 20. He's recounting what's occurred. They could not touch Mount Sinai, but, verse 20, if even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight, Moses said, I tremble with fear. Verse 22, you have come to Mount Zion. Israel was not to touch the mountain. God has brought us to the mountain, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable angels in festal gathering, to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What can we do? We can come to the mountain where God dwells. We can come to Zion and dwell with our God. We can live with Him. We can be with Him because He brought us to the mountain. The blood of Christ has given us the atonement that we needed to come to the mountain. The sacrifice of our Lord has given us the forgiveness that we needed to approach our God. The holy sacrifice and grace of our God has brought us to the mountain. Let's go to the mountain. So then in conclusion, the Word of God, is Jesus, has brought us to the mountain. Answering our original question then, why did Israel not want God to speak to them? I think the question I want to pose to us is, do we listen to God or do we urge? Do not let God speak to us. At this time, get out your songbooks, please. It is only whenever we come in full contact with the voice of our God that we will understand His awesomeness, His glory, His majesty, and even His love. May I recommend that we will never truly experience the depths of the love of God until we hear the awesomeness of the voice of God. The love of God can save us. The grace of God can forgive us. The mercy of our God can atone for us. And because of His sacrifice, Jesus has brought us to the mountain. Don't live a life standing at Mount Sinai. Don't live a life trembling at the thought of God, but never coming to know Him. God has given us a better way through Jesus. God has given us a way through Jesus to come to Mount Zion, that when we are in Him through baptism, and when we come to Him, then we can be with God, the great, awesome voice who came down and shook the mountain. And so let's remember, the voice that shook the mountain, the God who filled the mountain with smoke, the God that filled the mountain with fire, that God wants us to come to Him. And so then, while all of Israel said, do not let God speak to us, we now stand and say,